Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Did you enjoy the worship?
Yes.
Give the Lord a big hand, please. Well, praise God. Who was not here last week? I'd like to see you all be after the service, please. All right, I'm just joking. Last week I spoke about fighting the good fight. How many of you know that when you made the decision to become a child of God, you did not enter a kingdom where everything was always going to be peaceful and passive and happy-go-lucky and just mellow? I know that sometimes it can frustrate us. Because we if we have to be honest, we probably have this expectation that because we serve God and because we are children of God, that things should be going well all the time. Can I just ask, how's that working for you? Okay, who can testify that they have no problems, no issues, no drama, nothing? The only time you're going to tell me that is when you're dead, and then you can't tell me that anyway. So it doesn't happen. We have problems. Look at what the Bible says. I just want to quickly recap on what we spoke about last week. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says to Timothy, he says to him, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. You know, the Apostle Paul was a man of God, called by God. He had a phenomenal calling on his life. He was the first man that walked the earth that preached the gospel to the world. Before him, when Jesus preached the gospel, Jesus preached to the children of God back then, the Jews. Jesus came to reveal himself to the Jews. When Peter and the apostles went out, they were told, do not go to the Gentiles. Do not go to the Samaritans. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But when Paul came, and you must understand, God was looking for a specific person, because when you go out to preach the gospel, you are going to encounter opposition. There is somebody out there that doesn't want you to get saved, doesn't want your neighbor to get saved, doesn't want your children to get saved, and that thing is real, and he shoots real bullets. He doesn't mess around. He doesn't play. It's called the devil. Now, I want you to put yourself in Paul's position. He's the first man that has ever been called by God to go out there into a very dark world. Satan is called the prince of darkness. Who rules the world? Satan. So he is going to have to go out into a very dark world, and he will be the first man that starts preaching the gospel, bringing light into this dark world. How much opposition did this man have? You know what? I want to say something to you, and I say this respectfully to anybody sitting here. You think you've got problems, you don't know what you're talking about. Because if you put yourself in Paul's position, just think for a second. The devil must have done his nut when he saw Paul walking out there and for the first time talking to people out there in the world that belongs to him about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He threw everything at him, including the kitchen sink, including everything that he had in his arsenal. I can tell you now, Paul, that's why when Paul speaks about trials and tribulations, we should listen, because he's not talking to us about something that he's not used to or that he's adverse to. He's talking about the type of stuff that probably happened on a daily basis in his life. But then I want to show you what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. He says to him, basically, he knows he's coming to the end of his life. He knows he's got very little time left. And he says to Timothy, I'm happy with my life. Because even though the devil tried very hard to get me to quit, even though he continuously put pressure on me and he wanted me to give it up as a bad job, he wanted me to turn and curse God, he wanted me to let go of everything I believed in, I can say with peace in my heart and conviction, I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race. My friend, I want you to listen to me very carefully. All of us are running a race right now. And I know that there are some of you, you've come to that place in your race where you are going uphill. Is there anybody here that has ever actually ran? You've run like you used to run. You used to run away from everybody that wanted to beat you up. I know that. I'm joking. Cross country. Me, when I was younger, I also used to do cross country. My brother has done the Comrades, I think, 4 times or 5 times now. Yeah, he fell on his head when he was younger. We prayed for him and it didn't work. You know? He's done the Ironman 3 times. You know? He fell on the left lobe the 1 time and the right lobe the other time. And he says, what can you do? But I have shared this before. My brother has told me that when you run, sometimes you hit what they call the wall. It feels like nothing in you wants to work anymore. He says, but when you just keep pushing on, when you break through the wall, it feels like energy comes back and you suddenly have the strength and the power to continue. And I want to relate that to the race that we are running right now. I know that there are some of you, yeah, you've come to a place where you feel, I can't do this anymore. There's too much pressure. There's too much problems. There's too much adversity. How many of you have ever been hurt in the church? Let's just ask that question. Come on, don't be ashamed. In other words, people in the church have hurt you. People in the church have gossiped about you. They've been jealous about you. They've spread lies about you. Well, it shouldn't surprise you. Because the devil works harder in the church than what he does in the world. Because you see, in the world, the devil doesn't have to work to get people to make nonsense. They make nonsense by themselves because they're far removed from God. In the church, the devil has to work to cause problems because he doesn't want the church to be effective. If we in the church keep talking bad about each other, keep stabbing each other in the back, gossiping about one another, you know, being nasty, being ugly, having no patience with one another, whatever the case might be, then we are actually doing exactly what the devil wants us to do because it inhibits our effectivity as children of God. So there is an attack upon us when we become children of God. And sometimes it'll come to that place where you have the feeling that, man, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore. And I know that that voice has spoken to every single one of you sitting here. It might not have used the same words, but it used something similar to that. It says to you, why do you want to continue crucifying yourself, chastising yourself this way? Just give it up. Just let it go. Then I want to bring you back to what the Apostle Paul said. And I want to say something to you. I say this to you with the utmost respect, but you have to hear it. Compared to what this man went through, you got no problems. Because everything the devil had, there was only one man preaching the gospel. It was Paul. All the demons in the freaking known universe was after him when he started preaching. I'm serious. They were all after him because he was the one that took the torch and went into the darkness. How much pressure was on this man's life? He could do it. Look at your neighbor and say, so can you.
So can you.
Don't you come and tell me you can't do it because I'm going to call you a liar. Because Paul had nothing different to what you and I have. We all have the same makeup. You were created in the image of Christ. What Paul probably had is more willpower to keep going. But if you dig deep, you will find the same thing because God gave it to all of us. And you know what? This thing that comes and sits on us and says to us, give it up. It's not going to work. It's a liar. You know, we sing that song, fear is a liar. Well, you know what? The Bible says the devil is a liar. John chapter 8 verse 44 says, you are children of your father, the devil. You always do the wrong things and you always lie because you are like your father. He is the father of lies. Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abides not in the truth and he was a liar from the beginning. We need to stop listening to the lie of the enemy. When that thing tells you, you can't do it anymore, it's not the voice of God speaking. Because the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, will encourage you to keep going. But unfortunately, the voice of the enemy is much louder. And he says to you, ach, just stop. Just give it up. Why you wanna go through all of this stuff? You have to put your foot down and say to him, shut up, foot sack. Get out of my life. I listen to my God. I will not listen to you. I want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul understood spiritual warfare. He's the one that says our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Let me tell you something. There are hardly any other books in the Bible that talks about the Christian war. Why not? Because Paul was an expert. Why does he understand spiritual warfare? Because he went through it almost every single day of his life. When he went out into the world, which belongs to Satan, by the way, and he began to preach the gospel, witchcraft came against him, sorcery came against him, jealousy came against him, envy came against him, destruction came against him, lies, gossip, slander, backstabbing, you name it, all the bad chochos out there were all coming for him. Why? They did not want him to be effective. Now let me ask you this question. Was Paul effective?
Oh, yes.
Look next to you. Who's sitting next to you? Somebody saved by the grace of Jesus. And you are called a Gentile. Therefore, Paul was extremely effective because, yes, it's a whole bunch of Gentiles that are saved by the grace of God. And that ministry was started by Paul, a man ordained by God to preach the gospel to the lost. Amen. Give the Apostle Paul a big hand. Now give Jesus a bigger hand. Now I want to ask you a question. Where would your life be today if the Apostle Paul cracked under the pressure? You would be nowhere because the darkness would still be reigning. But I want to tell you something. I need you to understand something. There's more in you than what you realize. If you truly begin to dig deep and you truly begin to trust God, you are going to find that you have everything that you need to weather the storm that you are in right now. The purpose of the storm that you are in right now is not to crush you. It's not to destroy you. Sometimes it will teach you valuable lessons. Sometimes it will show you where you are weak and you have to work on it to get stronger. Sometimes it will simply clean you of all the rubbish that is going on in your life. But you can weather the storm. You can persevere. Paul could do it. You can do it. You've got everything that it takes. Do you know why? Because the same Spirit that filled Paul and enabled him to be a man of God in the midst of trials and tribulations and adversity and problems and war, that same Spirit is working in you today. Paul did not have a different version of the Holy Spirit. There's not Holy Spirit 1.0, Holy Spirit 2.0, Holy Spirit 3.0, and then you haven't updated to the latest software. It doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit is a person. If he was in the life of Paul and he is in your life, he will give you everything that Paul had. In fact, he will give you what Jesus had, if you truly allow him to do so. Can I tell you where the problem lies? We give up too quick. We crack under the pressure. Look at your neighbor and say, from today, I will not crack under the pressure. You know, I used to have a friend when I was studying. His name was Christy. He was a very, very funny oak. He came from the Cape. I had to just forgive him for all the stuff that came out of his mouth. But he used to say, I crack sommer in farses, you know. If you have to translate that into English, it's like, I feel so upset, I'm going to start cracking in different phases. You know, it's like, no, my friend, you were not called to crack. You were called to weather the storm. You were called to persevere because there is a crown. The Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. What happens when you finish the race? When you finish the race, the Bible says, you will receive the prize for which you are called heavenwards. My friend, there is a prize up there waiting for me. But I have to finish the race. And so do you. Do you really want to tell me you've come so far to just give up? No, you're not going to give up. You're going to persevere. You're going to go through. You're going to conquer because God is for you. You have work to do. The same Spirit that worked and willed in Paul to continue to keep going and to make a difference is working in you. And it's time for you to begin to close your ear to what that other voice says. That says you can't do it. You're not strong enough. You're not going to make it. Your problems are too big. Well, how big can your problem really be when you compare your problem to God? Your problem is nothing. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. Paul speaks to Timothy. Yeah, he says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. This is the part that we don't want to hear, but I want to tell you something. As a Christian, you are called to fight the good fight. God expects you to fight. He doesn't expect you to give up. He doesn't expect you to go and sit and say, oh, you know what? Surely God could not expect me to go through all of this stuff. This is just more than anybody can bear. God expects you to say, there's problems, there's trials, there's tribulations. So what? I'm going to make it through. And you know what? Last week I shared with you that a friend of mine used to have this thing that he did with people, and he had this thing that he used to sing in the church, I'm somewhere in the future, and I look much better than I look right now. Now, here's the thing. Must I do it again? I'm somewhere in the future, and I look much better than I look right now. Well, there we go. Give the Lord a big hand. Now, sometimes you just got to say that to yourself because you don't know how the problem is going to get resolved, but you know it will. Sometimes when we make the mistake is we want to know, but how? Stop asking how, because God has infinite ways of fixing the problem. Believe it will be fixed somewhere. That's why you're somewhere in the future and you look better. Why? Because you're not alone. My friend, I want to tell you something. You are never alone in the problems that you are facing. You feel alone, but you're not. That is another lie of Satan. Because the word of God says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Then how can you be alone? And it's not like, oh, but how does God expect me? No, God expects nothing. God is with you. And even though you don't see it right now, something is falling into place behind the scenes. The spirit world is moving. The power of God has been released and your deliverance has already been ordained. And it's time for you to put your faith, your hope and your trust in God that everything is going to fall into place. I know that the devil right now, because I know a lot of you, I know your lives and I've heard the way that you talk. The devil is trying to get you to stop running this race. Put your foot down and say, no, I am not going to stop because tomorrow is going to be better. Amen. You know, there was a time when I used to work for myself. And every now and then when you work for yourself, you know, there's nobody else that you can call to come and sort the problem. Now you've got to sort the problem. And sometimes you are confronted with a problem that you've never experienced before. And then it's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And every time when that happened, I would go on my knees and I would pray and I would say, Lord, I don't know how to fix this. I have nobody to call. I have nobody to talk to. I need you to help me. And then I would have this thing. I would say, I don't know how, but between now and this afternoon, this thing will get resolved. I have faith. And you know what? God never failed me. Every time I was in a situation like that and I encountered something like that, between now and that afternoon, something happened. Information came to me. I found something. Something happened and everything fell into place. But you know what the enemy wanted to do to me? Sometimes that's how the devil works. He wants you to drop everything, run away and say to the people, go find somebody else to fix your problem. No. You have to do it, but you have to have faith. God is for me, not against me, and things are going to work out. Sometimes you just have to say to yourself, I don't know how this is going to happen, but by tomorrow it'll be better. By next week, everything will fall into place. Sometimes this year, everything will come together. Why? Because then you're showing God, at least you have faith. No, you don't know how to fix the problem. And God doesn't expect you to know how to fix every problem. If you knew how to fix every problem, you wouldn't need God, would you? And God wants us to need Him. And that's why sometimes we also have problems to remind us that we need God. But the fact is, have faith in Him that things will work out. Have faith in Him, things will fall into place. Have faith in Him that your breakthrough is just around the corner. Because when you begin to live a life of faith, listen to what He says. Fight the good fight of faith. If you say today you have faith in Jesus, you must also say today, I'm willing to fight the good fight associated with my faith. And let me tell you something, it is a fight to keep going forward in Christ. Because there's a lot of things that wants you to stop. The devil is real. I wish I could tell you today that you don't have to bother with him. I wish I could tell you today that he's not going to give you a hard time. But you know what? Then I would be lying. Then I would be like a lot of churches that preach that the devil doesn't exist. One day those pastors are going to stand before God and I do not want to be in their shoes. Because the word of God says if you add one word to this book or take one word away from this book, every curse in the Bible will come upon you. So I have to tell you, this is the way it is. There's something out there that doesn't want you to succeed. There's something out there that wants you to stop. But there's someone out there that is encouraging you right now. There's someone out there. In fact, that someone is part of your life. His name is Jesus. And he is encouraging you that you've got all the right stuff. You can do it. Your life is not useless. Your life is not a waste. Your life is precious. And your call and your destiny is secure in Christ. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you can do it. With God's help, you can do anything. David said, with my God, I will come against 1,000. With my God, I will leap over a wall. Do you know why David could say things like that? Because many times he was in situations that was impossible for anybody to get out of. Yet because of God, he got out of every single one of them. Do you know how many times David was on the verge of losing his life? And every time God just changed it. Now listen to me. God did not stop him from going through that. And I'm sure it wasn't nice for him. But God was always there for him in the process. And can I tell you something? Nobody had more respect for God than David. Because of what God did for him. Would he have loved God as much if he had not gone through those things? No, he wouldn't. Would he have been called a friend of God if he had not gone through all of that and stuck to God? No, he wouldn't. You don't always know what's happening behind the scenes. But I want to tell you something. God does not lose control of your life. And this is a bit of a shock, but God sometimes even uses the devil. Not to break you down, to strengthen you, to teach you, to equip you, to train you. The Bible says our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far greater weight of God's eternal glory. Where does affliction come from? Well, 99.9% of the time it comes from some devil, some demon, some spirit working in your life. It can come from the spirit of witchcraft. It can come from the spirit of torment. It can come from the spirit of destruction. It can come from the spirit of gossip and lies and slander. But the Bible says our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, do you know who wrote those words? The Apostle Paul. Now, just wrap your mind around this. He's the first man that preaches the gospel in the dark world belonging to Satan. He's got all the demons that you can think of giving him a hard time, coming at him through everybody. And he says, but don't stress, it's a light affliction. God chose the right man for that job. Because if he chose anybody in this room, we would have given up a long time ago, I'm sure. But God knows who to choose. God chose Paul. Can I tell you why? Because Paul had patience. Paul had perseverance. And these things are extremely important in the Christian way of life. He patiently endured, just like Jesus patiently endured the torment of the cross, because he knew it was working for us. Amen. You're going to have problems somewhere between now and probably even tomorrow, or between now and next week, or between now and the end of the year. I can give you a certificate. You're going to. But here's the thing. If I have to give you a certificate for each issue, it's like they say, if they wrote down everything Jesus did, there was not enough pages to write it. So I can't give you one for everything. But what I can say to you is, when you get to the other side, there will be a prize waiting for you. We need more patience. And I'm saying this respectfully to you. Our impatience sometimes makes us also want to give up. Because we get frustrated, we get angry, we get like irritable, like, why must I go through this again? Oh, this is not fair, this is not right. Listen to me, you need more patience. I want to read you something. Again, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of the Thessalonians, he says to them, now I ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard amongst you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. In other words, he's talking about fellow disciples. Paul was not the only one. Paul had raised up disciples, and under him there was disciples beginning to minister to the Thessalonian church. Obviously, there was pastors. Paul speaks of some are called to be pastors, some are called to be preachers, some are called to be teachers, some are called to be evangelists, some are called to be prophets, the fivefold ministry. And Paul says, listen very carefully. If God raises up somebody to minister to you, you have to respect that person. You have to listen to them. You know, I want to say something respectfully. A lot of people are going to have a bit of a hiding from God one day because of the way they treat the people that are supposed to teach them. Because sometimes people that teach the word of God are treated like they don't know nothing. God knew what he did when he called people. And you have to respect them as such. Now, he goes on, he says, hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Regard them because Paul knows that they take a lot of flack for you that you don't even know of. Respect them for that and love them for that. Then he says, now we urge and live in peace with one another. Okay? Important. Live in peace. And now we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and listen to this, be patient with everyone. The Apostle Paul understood something that I think sometimes we don't understand. We need to be patient. We need patience for more than one reason. Yeah, he says be patient with one another. I want to ask you a question. How many times did you mess up this year? Okay. Louisiana. I'm not even going to ask you. I'll have to ask your husband. Now, I don't want to get him to sleep in the doghouse tonight, so I'm just going to be quiet. I can only see the problem already. No, here's the thing. If you have to be honest with yourself, how many times have you messed up this year, done things that you know is not right, caused problems for this one or that one, been disobedient, allowed things to come into your life that you should not, said things that you know you should not say? How many times? Can I say 100? Can I say 200? How many days have we gone through in this year? At least, like, 360, we're just over halfway. 170, 180 days. Probably at least 180 times if you only messed up once a day. Some of you mess up like 20 times a day. I'm not even going to do the math because I'll fail. Now, here's the thing. If God had the attitude with you that you have with the people around you, where would you be? I need you to think now. You know, sometimes we get very frustrated with people and we have no patience with people. If God treated you the way you sometimes treat people, where would you be? There would be nothing left of you. The Apostle Paul understood that we need to have patience. We need patience with one another because God has patience with you. You know, if God was an impatient God, most of us would not go past 3 or 4 years of age. Because when we start getting very naughty, we're just gone. But he's patient. Why could Jesus endure the cross? Because he has patience. You know, I want to tell you something. Jesus had the power to call fire from heaven. But because he was a patient man, the Pharisees at least lived long enough to hear all his teachings. Because I can tell you something, if Jesus was not a patient man, he would have wiped them all off the face of the earth. But he had patience. And if you can't have patience with the people around you, and if you can't have patience with fellow believers, how are you going to have the patience to endure the fight that you're in right now? Do you hear what I'm saying? One of the biggest things we all need is we need more patience. Can I tell you one attribute that I have? And from a very early age, it's probably a gift. But one thing God has given me is patience. Do you know, I hear some of your stories. And sometimes I do have to hear your same stories 3, 4, 5, 10, 100 times. But I always listen. I always smile. I always give a word of encouragement. And I pray.
Now he doesn't say twice the same thing.
I'm just giving an example. I'm just giving an example. But the fact of the matter is, if I have no patience, I can help nobody. Because I'm going to tell you, you're irritating me. You're wasting my time. The Apostle Paul says, one of the things we need patience. We need patience with one another. Because God has patience with us. Amen? Has God had patience with you many times over your life? Don't you owe it to your wife? Don't you owe it to your children? Don't you owe it to your brothers and sisters in Christ? Don't you even owe it to your atheist boss? Come on. It's part of the trials and tribulations of life. Because when you show God that you have it, you are showing Him a godly character trait. And God will bless you for it. I actually want to show you a very interesting scripture. I made a note here quite a few years ago. Proverbs 24 verse 17. Listen to this. Proverbs 24 verse 17. Do not gloat when your enemy fails. And when he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. Or the Lord will see it and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him to you. Did you hear that? You know, this is like scary stuff because, you know, sometimes we have this thing. Somebody does something to me. Now they must pay. But God says, do not gloat. Do not be happy when your enemy starts paying for what he's done. Because if God sees that heart in you, God will stop giving him what he deserves and God will give it to you. I hope you've heard that. Because I think a lot of us need to repent today of that attitude. Yeah. This is harsh words. Okay. There's one that wants to repent too. Give me three. Can I see another one? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Sold. Today we have to pray for that. I'm serious. And I want you to listen. I want you to listen to this. You know, there's some of us here, we complain big time because we got so many problems. You've probably got other people's problems sent to you because your heart was wrong when they started going through it. That's what the scripture says. If God sees the wrong attitude when he chastises, you know, I remember there was a couple of times when my dad gave my brother a hiding and then I laughed and I got a hiding. I'm serious. My dad said, hey, you don't laugh at him when I eat him. God does the same thing to us. God doesn't want you to gloat when your enemy starts paying for what's happening. He says, I will stop hitting him and I will give it to you. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of the things you are going through today has to do with this attitude that found its way into your heart? But now you know. Now we have to be careful. The Bible says we must bless our enemies. The Bible says, listen to this. Bless them that curse you. Bless and do not curse. For therefore you are called that you might inherit a blessing. God wants to bless us, but we need to bless those. Doesn't the Bible say love your enemies? Well, if you love your enemy, you're not going to gloat when they go through problems, trials and tribulations. The Word of God is yet to teach us. The Word of God is yet to equip us and to show us how God works. And sometimes we suffer because of ignorance. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But when the knowledge comes, it's your responsibility to take it and to use it correctly and to use it wisely. Here's the thing. In the race that you are running, you are going to encounter so-called believers that are going to do bad things to you. What must you do? Bless them. Bless them. No, I know. It's difficult. I'm not trying to be funny, huh? I know it's difficult, but this is what God expects of us because I said to you, if God must have patience with you when you mess up and God wants you to be like him, you cannot have a different attitude with people around you. God has patience. We have to have patience. And that's why I said to you, I think today the number one thing I'm going to be praying for everybody is patience. Because we are, if you are honest and you listen to the way that I'm bringing the sermon across, you will realize you actually don't have patience. We get irritable with one another. We get angry with one another. We don't give each other chances. God's word says we must be patient. We must love one another. He goes on. He says, we urge you, brothers. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. In other words, you've clapped me. I'm going to clap you twice. No, that's not the way God wants things to happen. God wants you to be better. Look at your neighbor and say, you're called to be different. I'm sorry, but it's true. God expects you and me to be different. Eddie just stepped on my toe. Now I'm going to smack him with a hammer on the head. You know, it's like, he's got to learn his lesson. No, I have to be patient. And then he steps on my other toe. Oh, it's okay, Eddie. I know you need glasses. Don't stress about it. It's fine. You know? Maybe he does need glasses. I don't know. Listen to how he says this. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, and always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Well, that'll probably bless God. Probably you should do that. Here's the thing. God wants us to be kind. Again, I want you, sometimes we can't understand how can God expect this, but how many times did you mess up this year? Yet did God still provide for you? Did God still look after you? Did God still bless you? Did God still deliver you? Yes, what's that called? Kindness. Now, how can we say we serve God, but we act exactly the opposite to the way that God does? Help me out here. What's wrong with this picture? We are wrong, and we have to repent. God expects us to be kind. I know sometimes it's going to be very difficult. But probably in the process, God is teaching you patience. Then you pray and you say, Lord, I need more patience. I can see a couple of people, yeah, for the next year, you're going to pray for patience every day. Then that's necessary. Twice a day. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes that's the way it happens. Eddie says, when I ask God for patience, he brings a lot of things into my life that I need patience for. God is teaching you something. Okay, here he says, be patient with everyone. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong. And always try to be kind to each other and everyone else. Then he says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Ooh. There's no money? Give thanks. Somebody just gossiped about you and spread lies? Give thanks. The children forgot your birthday for the umpteenth time? Give thanks. Your boss gave everybody a raise and you got nothing? Give thanks. The boss didn't give me a raise, I'm going to blow down their tires. Well, the other day, I have a confession to make. The other day I went to the sports and this schmuck came and parked right behind me and I couldn't get out. I blew down his tires. I did. I'm not saying I was right and I repent right now, but I did. All right, I'm sorry. If you ever listen to this video, it was me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. Segi? Yes, and I was very thankful that I had fingers to do that with. I was thankful. I was. Of course, I needed more patience, and I'm yet to acknowledge that today. I needed more patience.
I'm scared of parking my car.
Do not park on the pastor's parking. Not a good thing. All right, listen to this. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, what is he actually saying? He doesn't say that it's just God's will for you to give thanks. It's God's will for you to do the following. Listen. You have to respect the people that teach you. You got to respect me. Finished and klar. You might not like me, but you better respect my position. Respect those that work hard for you in Christ. Live in peace with one another. It's God's will for you to live in peace. I've said many times, blessed are the peacemakers. God wants us to make peace. It's easy to make war. Sometimes it's difficult to make peace. Work on making peace. He says, live in peace with one another. It's God's will to encourage the timid. In other words, when we see somebody that's battling, when we see somebody that's not finding it easy to run the race, don't criticize them. Don't chastise them. Encourage them. Take them by the hand. Help them through. It's God's will for you to be patient with everyone. It's God's will for you to not pay back wrong for wrong. It's God's will for you to be kind to one another. It's God's will for you to be joyful always. It's God's will for you to pray continually, to give thanks in all things. And then he says, verse 19, listen carefully, do not put out the Spirit's fire. People often ask me, oh, but how do we put out the Spirit's fire when you don't do what God wants you to do? And He's already told you what to do. Have patience with your fellow man. Do not repay evil with evil. Do not curse your enemy. Be joyful in all things. Give thanks to God in all things. What book is this? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm reading verse 19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that continually put out the Spirit's fire by the things that the Word of God expects us to do and we don't do it. When God says, have patience, and we do not have patience, we've put out the Spirit's fire. When God says, do not repay evil for evil, and we repay evil for evil, we've put out the Spirit's fire. Now let me ask you a question. Paul says here to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6 verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. Would you say you need the Spirit's fire to fight the good fight? Okay, so if you're constantly putting out the Spirit's fire, how are you going to fight the devil? You can't. Can I tell you why a lot of people lose the fight against the devil? Because they put out the Spirit's fire. How do you put out the Spirit's fire? I just showed you. Do we have to adjust our attitude? Yes, we do. Do we have to change? Look at your neighbor and say, it's time for me to change. My friend, you might not like it, but these changes are what God expects of us. You know, you cannot. The Bible says faith without works is dead. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but when you look at their life, there's nothing Christian about their life. You know, one thing where I have a big problem, there are certain schools in this country that profess to be Christian schools. Then you go to those so-called Christian schools and you don't see nothing Christian. You see scriptures on the walls, but with the teachers and the children, there's nothing Christian about what you see there. Close that school down. You're wasting everybody's time. Because God expects us to walk the walk, not talk the talk. It's very quick to talk. And I don't think God has any respect for somebody that likes to talk about His word but shows something completely different in the way they treat people. You want the hiding? That's how you get hidings from God. We have to conform to the image of Christ. I'm going to say to you again. Sometimes we have this thing, but how can I be patient with this one? God has patience with you. You want God to treat you the way you treat the people around you? Man, how far are you going to get? Nowhere. Nowhere. You know, imagine if God says to you, oh, you know what? That's the 10th time this month that you prayed about the same thing. I'm not listening anymore. You know? It's not going to help you. We need more patience. We need more kindness. They say you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. It's true. Jesus, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there is no time for anger. There is a time for anger. Sometimes when there is true injustice, there is a time for anger. But our nature, our character has to be based on kindness, not anger, not impatience, kindness, goodness. Listen to the scripture. Where is that now? I want to read you just something quick. Galatians. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Did you hear that? If you want to live by the Spirit, you must keep in step with the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? I'm going to read it to you. But the fruit of the Spirit is, press record, listen, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You have to decide for yourself whether you are in step with the Spirit or not. But He says if you want to live by the Spirit, you have to walk with the Spirit. Then these are the things God wants to see in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, listen carefully. These are the rules to live by. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. And self-control. Let's talk about self-control very quickly. I think I have another 5 minutes. Do you know that the Bible says, he who has no self-control is like a city whose walls have fallen in? What is the purpose of the walls of the city? It's to protect you. I want to say something to you. Every time you lose self-control, whether it is through drugs, whether it is through alcohol, whether it is through sexual perversion, whether it is through your temper, whether it is through whatever, through what you speak or whatever, every time you lose self-control, you want that scripture? I'll give it to you. Give me a second. Proverbs. No, wait. The scripture I just quoted is from Proverbs. I'm going to give it to you now. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25 verse 28 says, like a city whose walls have broken down, so is a man who lacks self-control. When we lack self-control, the walls that God is talking about, the walls of the city, is there to protect the city from the rubbish outside, the serpents, the scorpions, the enemy. When we lose self-control, the walls of protection fall down and you are vulnerable for whatever is out there to come for you. Amen? Let's get back to the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, if you can allow that to come into your heart, you will walk in step with the Spirit of God. You will experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody that needs more of the Holy Spirit? Walk in step with the Spirit. Then you will live by the Spirit. Amen? Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand.